Christ is saying, Luke, the 19th chapter, beginning at verse 35 through 38. This being Palm Sunday, we thank God for another opportunity to share in these services this week as we continue not only today but throughout the Holy Week services. And we ask you to pray one for another, and we pray that you will come out and share with us throughout this week for the community to have an opportunity to come together. The Bible reads in the 19th chapter of Luke, beginning at verse 35. And they brought him to Jesus. And they cast their garments upon the coat, and they set Jesus thereupon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. When he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Supporting scripture, St. Luke 23, 21, and 20 and 21 that you already heard and you're hearing this morning. Pilate, therefore, willing to release Jesus, spake again to them, but they cried, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. And also 2 Chronicles, the 7th chapter, and the 14th verse. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. We also use the thought of subject this morning. I'd like to speak from a very simple thought. My people, my people. My people, my people. One day, the Lord made a way for all of us. And for that we do, oh God, praise this morning. Because he is God, because he loves us, because he continues to make a way for us, we celebrate the name Jesus, not only on Sunday, but every day ought to be a day of thanksgiving. Every day we ought to be able to tell God, thank you for something that he has done. If it's no more than just allowing us to see another dawn of another day, that's enough to tell God, thank you. Despite all the many different forecasts that we may have gotten throughout the week, God did just what he was going to do in this area. And so everything is well with our souls. God is a good God, and he is worthy to be praised. And he is so good to us that he has allowed us to be assembled together here on another Palm Sunday. And on Palm Sunday, we revisit the spiritual triumphal entry of Jesus Christ into Jerusalem on his last week in human flesh. This week was known to some as Holy Week and observed by others called the Week of Passion. As we look at the things that transpired with compassion and empathy, considering all the suffering and pain that he endured, we need to reevaluate how to feel about Christmas as we honor the birth of Christ, and also Easter as we celebrate the newness of life by his resurrection. They are much more than just another day. We tend to think because we have allowed commercialism to overtake our spiritual thoughts when it comes to the holidays. And so now because we are grown, because we don't think about Santa Claus, we don't think about gifts, we don't think about giving or receiving, it's just another day. But to every Christian, we ought to be ever so thankful when we get into the holiday season to celebrate the birth of the life of the one that came to die for your sins and for mine. See, I found out that it's more than just another day. There was a time that when we were young children, we got excited about Easter because there was only two times that you might get a new suit. You might get one for Christmas because Christmas sort of like in between. You get half your school clothes the beginning of the year, and you get the rest of them during Christmas. And so, you know, it didn't leave much room for much else. You didn't worry about a whole lot of toy. We got things that we needed. And so the thing about when it came around to Easter was during the spring, and it was just getting warm after the cold weather. And all of a sudden, you go in and shop for a brand new suit. We were so excited to get a suit, and it's amazing how we've even taken that away from our children. Our children walk around the either just basic casual dress or no dress whatsoever. We don't dress them up and allow them. And it wasn't all about that, but it's just that we have taken so much away. And sometimes it's not so much that we done got over that. We tight. We want to do our own thing with our own money. And then we begin to think, well, they're just going to wear it on Sunday. If you teach your children how to be decent and in order, then they wouldn't be just a every now and then dresser. They would dress because of what you have instilled within them. I think the little girls still ought to look like little girls on Sunday morning. I think that, you know, that one thing that disturbs me about the singing anniversary is everybody done got so casual. Most of the women wear jeans all the time. Burns my spirit up. We ought to learn how to respect the house of God. We ought to learn that if it were good enough for Birmingham, it's good enough for us. There's no harm in seeing a little boy with a three-piece suit on and a little bow tie and a little cap to match. And we're just so proud because he looks like that well-dressed little young boy that you wanted to have to grow up into a man. You didn't grow up, you didn't raise your child in a way with his pants hanging down, half passes behind. You pulled them up and made sure that everything was intact. Tell how cool you thought you was. One of the best whoopings I ever got was taking a school picture and I unbuttoned that top button. Forgot about that. The woman saw that picture and said, "Who you think you so grown you can unbutton your shirt?" We have too many liberties now. We allow too much to happen. We ask them instead of telling them, this is what you're going to look like Sunday. We done come way away from the mark. And it wasn't all about that, but it was something about the fellowship that we had during the holidays. Something about the love that we shared. It was something about, you know, where God done blessed us that we got so much now that we don't appreciate the little things. We used to be so glad to get a boy deviled egg, we didn't know what to do with it. We eat all them eggs up. Now, if you're not careful, you can die a half dozen and half of them still be sitting there unless some grown people come by. Talking about you're going to have an Easter egg hunt, you got to have somebody to hunt the eggs. Most of our children still land somewhere to sleep. Sunrise service, you didn't worry about it being 6 a.m. You'd be glad to get up, glad to be one in the house, glad to be able to come and say, I want to thank God for this day because this is the day, not only had he died, but this is the day that represents his resurrection from the grave. And that ought to give us some hope. You see, that's one thing about having the Lord. As long as we got the Lord, we got some hope. And we got to understand. I know that we are aware that these days signify, and you may have read the story, you heard the story over and over again. But we tend to downplay the story. You know, it's all right to say, well, I done heard all about Palm Sunday. I done heard all about what's going to happen throughout the week of Passion. And I know this and I know that. But what does it mean to you on a spiritual note? You know, it ought to mean something to you. It does not mean that you got to walk around with this big old grin on your face and everybody you see, you got to get them saved, sanctified, and full of the Holy Ghost. But if you are a believer and you are a follower of Jesus the Christ, something about these two holidays ought to excite you. I'm excited to know that God loved me so much that he looked down and realized that there was nobody here to do the thing that needed to be done. So he loved us so much he gave his only begotten son to come and to die in human flesh so that we might live eternally. And then when I think about not only was he born to die, but he didn't even live but 33 years in the flesh. Look at all the years that we've had. What have we done with the time that God has given us? We got to think in terms of being thankful and having gratitude and being appreciative of what God has done for us. He was willing to die and to lay down his life for his friends. I can honestly say that my God is a good God. I love to praise his holy name. I thank God because I know him to be the creator and the maker and our king. In him, there is nothing that cannot be done. We serve a God that is able and all we have to do is call on our Lord in prayer. We need to know that we got a one-on-one relationship with God. All we need is just a taste of God. That's why when David said, oh, taste and see that the Lord God, he is good. Once you get a taste of it, you always go back and want a little bit more. Anybody ever got to that place where you feel like there's that song that said, fill me up till I want no more? Every now and again, it's good to feel good, but it's good, even better, to feel so good that you just let it overflow. When it overflows from you, then it'll spill off onto somebody else. Let somebody know that I serve a mighty God. This morning, we are going to talk just a little bit about us. Who are we? Where did we come from? What is it that makes us tick? I find joy in reading and knowing that according to Genesis 1, 26 and 27, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowls of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. Then in Genesis 2 and 7, the Bible declares, and the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So I have mine and you have your being because God allows his spirit and his blood to continue to flow in our veins. When God made man, we were and are his special creation. He had a bond with the Jewish people, the Israelites, if you will, that he made a covenant with them. And in that covenant, he said, I will be your God if you will be my people. He is a just God, but he's also a jealous God. And he expects from any of us, all that he expects is for us to have obedience to his words. As we continue the journey, as we think about who God is, if you know who God is, and as we approach this Palm Sunday, the Bible says, and when he does speak, spoken, he went therefore ascending up to Jerusalem. Came to pass that when he was come nigh to Bethpage and Bethany, at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples. Bible declares, saying, go ye into the village over against you, into which, at your entering, you shall find a coat tied there, whereon yet never a man has sat. Loose him and bring him thither. And if any man asks you, why do you loose him? Thus shall you say unto him, because the Lord have need of him. And they that were sent went their way and found even as he had said unto them. God knows exactly what he is doing. When you think about what God did, God sent two servants and he sent them to a particular place and he let them know that there are going to be some coats there. One of them, the man, have never sat on before. I want you to go and get them for me. And God already knew there's going to be somebody looking on. Somebody's going to ask you, what are you doing messing with that coat? As they were loosing the coat, the owners thereof said unto them, why loose ye the coat? And they said, the Lord have need of him. They brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the coat. They set Jesus thereon. So here we have Jesus, the Messiah, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, that is getting ready to come and make his entry into Jerusalem. As he's coming into Jerusalem, they have heard and they realize that many of them had just seen him heal Bartimaeus. And they realized that because he healed him, there's something special about this man called Jesus. Now, here they are getting ready to enter to the gates of Jerusalem, and all of a sudden we see Jesus humble. He didn't come in on a big old stallion. He didn't come in on a horse or a chariot. You see, that was for the rich folk. But he came in on a colt. He came in on one of those that the poor people would ride. And then he didn't have a nice saddle thrown across the colt. But they realized that we don't want our Lord to just sit on bare back. So they took their own clothes off their own back. Now, you ought to think about what kind of love this signifies. When you love somebody enough to take your coat off your back, lay it on the back of a coat so as they sat on the coat, he would be more comfortable. So now, here we have our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's sitting there on the coat. And as he went in, they spread clothes all in the way. And we come now, even now, at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples, they began to rejoice. They began to praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen. When you think about it, they began to sort of lift up the name of Jesus. They began to think about, I saw a man that was blind, but now he sees. I saw a man that was crippled, but now he's able to walk. I heard of a man by the name of Lazarus that was dead in the grave, but because of this man called Jesus, all he had to do was say, arise, and he got up out the grave, and he came out walking. There's something special about this man, and I believe that now that it's time for the Passover, when he gets there, he's going to signify that I am King of Kings. I am your waiting Messiah. I'm here, and everything is going to be all right. So here they are, Hosanna, Hosanna, oh Lord God Almighty. Everybody praising God. Everybody lifting up the mighty name of Jesus. But there was always somebody that got some fault. The Bible says some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. In other words, make them hush their mouth. No, I got a joy down on the inside that the enemy didn't give it to me. And I'm not going to let the enemy shut my mouth. If God done anything for anybody in here, when you get a notion to give your God praise, don't let nobody tell you to shut your mouth. I don't need no rocks crying out for me this morning. All I need to know is I serve a mighty God. I serve a God that'll do just what I need him to do. I serve a God that if I love him like I ought to love him, that everything is going to be all right. But I found out that some folks don't like it because you love God. Some folks don't like it because you're on the Lord's side. But I just stopped by to tell somebody, don't worry about the naysayers. Don't worry about the Pharisees. Don't worry about the Sadducees. Don't worry about them that didn't come this morning. But if you're here on this Palm Sunday morning, if you can have a spiritual imagination and see your Lord ride on into Jerusalem, getting ready to go and die for your sin and for my sin, I want to tell God thank you this morning. I want to thank God for being that kind of God, a God that I can depend on, a God that is always right there by your side. I found out that the Bible says where two or three gather in his name, he don't take the whole church. All it takes is somebody to say that I love the Lord. Is there anybody in the house? Got love for the power of a loving God. I stop by to tell somebody that they'll love you on Sunday, but come Friday, they'll crucify you. Anybody know somebody that changed up their mind? For the Bible says that they got ready to let somebody go. They had to let somebody go. Paul said, I don't find no fault in the man. But the same one that was saying, Hosanna, Hosanna. Those are the same one that'll stab you in the back. Those are the same one that say that you ain't got nothing. Those are the same one that say you ought to sit down somewhere. But when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that the Lord has done, my soul cries out. Anybody want to help me lift Jesus? Anybody want to help me lift up Jesus? For the Bible declares, power was willing to release Jesus. But it said, crucify him. Crucify him. He said unto them the third time, why I haven't found any evil or anything to kill this man for. They still said, crucify him. My people, my people. You don't know where they're on your side. One minute they're on your side. The next minute they jump ship on you. But I'm so glad that I serve a just God. that it no matter what you say or do, if the Lord be for you, whatever God got for you, it's for you. I heard that somebody sang a song that there's a blessing with my name on it. I'm going to reach out and grab my blessing. Is there anybody in here that realize that if you want something from God, you better open up your mouth? I want to tell somebody, just like it said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, then seek out my face. Turn from their wicked way. See, in other words, God said, if you want me to do something, then you got to do something. If you're going to be my people, you got to humble yourself down. You got to pray and seek my face. You got to turn from your wicked way. And then I'll hear your humble cry. Then I'll take the famine out of the land. Then I'll send down a raindrop that'll make the seed begin to grow. If you want anything from the Lord, I want to let you know that we are God's people. And all you got to do is stay on the Lord's side. If my people who are called by my name, God got a chance to see that the same one that'll boost you up, those are the same one that'll tear you right back down. But by Friday, I don't know what happened in their mind, but they got on the other side of Jesus, and they cried out, crucify him. Now, why would you crucify somebody that have given you life and even giving it to you more abundantly? And then when I think about how the Bible declares to King Solomon, let it go that the same God that was with your daddy, I'm here with you. But what you got to understand, that if you're going to be my people, and if I'm going to be your God, you got to let go of the mess. I'm a jealous God. And don't you get over there in Egypt land and start serving those idol gods. Because if you do that, then I'm going to have to serve judgment on you. You see, everything that they went through, they brought it on themselves. And so now, instead of Hosanna, Hosanna, they're saying crucify him. And you know, with my little crazy mind, I could just see Jesus, my people, I just picked you up yesterday and made a way for you. And you're going to stand here and tell them to crucify me? I fed your grandma and made everything all right for them. And you mean you're going to stand there and tell them to crucify me? The man that's in charge had just told you that I find no fault against this man. But you so-called followers of Jesus that's supposed to be lifting him up, you done turn your back on him. You done changed from what you ought to be. And now here you're talking about crucify Jesus. Well, do what you got to do. But when you call on me, I'm going to have a deaf ear. When you need me, I'm not going to be anywhere to be found. I'm going to show you that I'm God. Stop trusting in your own mindset. And stop trying to please everybody else. Look to the hills and know that that's where all of your strength and help come from. And when I begin to think about how good God has been to me, if I didn't even know how to say Jesus, I'd have learned that day. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Whatever I got to do to let you know I love you, I appreciate you, and I don't care what they say they want to do to you. Lord, my vote goes to you. Lift him up. Let my Lord go. That's right. But don't you know, it had already been set in plans that God had to die and give up his life so that we might have life. But then when you think about the people of God, look at us like we've done it for ourselves. Everything we got. P. comes from the power and the love of God. You ever think, what did Jesus feel like when suddenly you're treating me like somebody? She's just wiping the sweat off my brow. And Thursday when I see in Walmart, she scoot down the other aisle. What kind of business is that?
That's right, Pastor.
You either love me or you don't. You either love him or you don't. Our holidays are Christmas, Easter, and because of who he is, we shall live again. All we got to do is die as a believer. Dying as a believer doesn't mean that you die in perfection, because no, none are perfect, no, not one. But Jesus came for those that are not perfect. He came to deliver those out of bondage. And he gave us this little thought this morning. Keep your eyes and your mind straight on Jesus. Don't allow circumstances, problems, sickness, finances, whatever the case may be, to pull you away from who God is. Because God is saying, I'm going to be here for you. And I'll do what you need me to do. I love you. But then when God looks at you and realizes that out of all that I've done for you, you still turn your back on me. My people. My people. When you decide to criticize and crucify one another, that you done to the least of your brethren, you did also unto Jesus the Christ. So if you don't have no love for nobody, if you don't know anything about real love, then this is not Passion Week for you. This is Holy Week. This is Deliverance Week. But if you can have that compassion that the Lord has for us, he gives us a mind to reach out.
Do something.
And say, help my brother, my sister,
me.
Even my enemy. If my people who are called by my name, all you got to do is humble yourself, pray, seek his face, turn from your wicked ways. And I love the way he concluded that verse, because it's an AB verse. In the conclusion of that, he said, and then will I heal the land. I'll take care of your situation when you are obedient to what I've asked you to do. Obedience is the key. Is there one this morning that would like to come by letter, candidate of baptism?
Oh, Lord, do something
under your Christian experience. Is there one this morning that would like to come?
Oh, Lord, do something.
The Lord is able this morning to do what no one else can do. The Lord said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Maybe that though this is our prayer this morning. We want to remember Sister Deborah Wagner.
Crying, Lord.
Brother Reginald Carter and family, Brother Christine Frazier, Sister Bernice Jackson, Sister Ada Harrison, Sister Paula McSpatton, Reverend Bernard Adams this morning, Bruce and Larry Davis, Sandy Walls, Lisa Fuller, Treva and Lewis Hargrave, Nancy Burns, Sally Perkins, Mary Lou, Major and Vinny Davis, Margaret and Corey Bugs, Dorothy Fuller, Ed Harrison, Margaret McCarter, Kathy Burns, all of our mothers, all of our spiritual fathers this morning, all of our sick and shut in, to all of those that are not able this morning to do for themselves, nursing facilities, the hospitals, to those that are trying to do all that they can to get back up on their feet. We ask you to increase their faith, to touch the faith and the hearts and minds of their children, that they will continue to allow God to be God.